Hour number two of the program here. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 8 o'clock. God, I'm so used to saying 10 o'clock. I almost just said it right there. But no, 8 o'clock tonight, because it is a Saturday. Atlanta United and Leagues Cup. Nope. Comes your way then. Not a good result in the first one, but unfortunately that has been par for the course for our five stripes this season, as they, much like the Braves, are just trying to figure it out. What went wrong? What do we need to tweak and fix and come back next season with a different attitude and a different approach? Atlanta United has just been near the bottom of the table all season long, and it's just not something you're used to seeing from the five stripes. Really, really disappointing. But they will play on, and they will play tonight another match in Leagues Cup. Abe Gordon and co. got you covered for the pre, starting at 8 o'clock, and then kick is at 9. Want you to hear a couple of things from QB1, who spoke this week, before we get into some Falcons true and false questions with my man E. Slaughter. The first thing Penix was talking about, you love to hear this from him. You got to have that dog in you when the tough gets going in these summer practices.
You got to have that dog in you. Like, I'm from Florida. You know, I've been away for like 6 years. You know, I always say that them 6 years kind of bit me in my butt, you know, coming back here. It's like, man, I'm not used to it, but it's good though, you know, because I gotta be the same person each and every day. You know, obviously being the quarterback, you know, the leader out there, you know, I gotta show those guys, even whenever I am hurt and I am tired, I still gotta go out there and show them guys that, you know, I'm here to practice. And I feel like I've been doing a good job of that. You know, I talked about how DJ been helping me with that as well. You know, whenever he see me tired sometimes, he's like, come on, we need you. And just always give me that confidence. You know, but I wouldn't say it feel like a 12, man. It's football, man. I gotta throw it to the open, man. So that's all I think about.
Yeah, and he had a rough day by all accounts yesterday. 8 for 21, which is not what you want there. Maybe if that was an NBA 3-point shooter from three, you could take that, but not a quarterback completing passes. But he'll bounce back. It is just the early days of camp. Speaking of camp, he says, man, I love this. The pads are coming on. Let's thump.
It was hot, but it was great. It was a great day. The intensity was there. The energy was there. But, man, it was really good. You know, just seeing all the guys, you know, excited. You know, I had some of the guys come up. He's like, it was crazy because I had some receivers coming up to me, like, saying they were excited about run plays because they can go hit a safety. So I was like, all right, just be open on the pass play. That's all I need. But it's been great, though.
And that's the vibe we've gotten from camp all camp long, is that it's been high energy, high enthusiasm. Everybody's bought in. Everybody's participating. Yes, that includes Kyle Pitts. And no, I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. Apparently, Kyle Pitts is going all out. And if he's going all out, then you know everybody else is going all out. One more from Penix before we get to true-false. This has been the story of camp. That has been the scuffles that are going on. What does QB1 have to say?
I like it, the energy, but, man, we just got to be smart, man. We got to be a disciplined team. You know, obviously, you know, you love the energy. You love the competitiveness, but we know we can't do that stuff in the game. So there ain't no need to come out here and do it in practice and slow practice down. And we missed out on some reps at the end of the practice for some of the developmental guys. But, you know, it's good to see the energy. You know, we love the energy, but we just got to be, like, kind of a little controlled, a little bit more controlled. No fighting. We can talk trash and do all that, but keep practice moving. So.
I don't mind it. Listen, for a team that's desperate, and the Atlanta Falcons sure are, don't get that twisted. They need to make the playoffs this year. I don't mind it. Let's go. Let's get a little involved. Let's get a little scrappy, if you don't say so myself. I mean, I'm just saying, why not? You know, James Pierce Jr. getting in the mix, all these other guys getting in the mix. I absolutely love to see it. But Penix is right at the end of the day. You got to make sure it doesn't get in the way of the work that you're trying to get done. Speaking of work we're trying to get done, we're trying to get to the bottom of E's five true-false Falcons questions.
Which teams in the ATL will make you cheer?
Which ones will make you cheer?
It's time for five true or false questions on Chris Thomas tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Falcons time. Five true or false here on Chris Thomas tonight, man. Good to be with you. Haven't been with you for a few days.
Yes, sir. It's been a while. I will say this, though. Yeah, I got a couple of Atlanta United midweek matches and some Falcon stuff coming up. So we're going to have a couple of Saturday shows. Looking forward to it.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I saw those on the schedule. You got to get your shows in, brother. All right. So I got a few on here. You had me tripping with you. We're going to get the deal done, Jerry impersonation. But true or false, even though Jerry thinks it's getting done. At some point this week, our GM should give Jerry just a phone call. Say, hey, Jerry, you were on my mind. True or false?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if a player of that caliber is potentially available, of course you got to check in. Do I think it's realistic? Probably not. I was listening to Fricky on the way in. He's right. The Falcons do not have a lot of cap space right now for either a player of Terry McLaurin or Micah Parsons' ilk, as they're going to be commanding top dollar. Could you trade back some salary, theoretically, in a deal? Sure. But then that would mean you'd be giving up. I heard a caller to Freaky Show was like, yeah, just throw in AJ Terrell. Oh, okay. Yeah, then you're who's playing corner exactly?
You get that kind of pass rush, me and you can play corner. I don't know.
I guess so. We'll have 5'7" Clark Phillips out there starting at CB2. I don't know about that. So I'm going to say, of course you check in, but the realistic probability of something that happening is unfortunately pretty slim.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, you know, call him anyway. I mean, we do play him in the preseason. You know, like, is that game here? I can't remember. You know, just say, look, man, just come on, fly on in and not go back home. All right. Keeping it going on Falcons, true and false. You know, you're actually teed up a few of the questions I have. Just heard those cuts from Michael Penix Jr. You gave that great stat that he didn't have a great day in practice. What did you say? It was 8 for 21. 8 for 21. So then that leads right into my question. True or false, Michael Penix Jr. needs to play a lot in the preseason?
Oh, good question. And it's a good question for a specific reason, too. Raheem don't play nobody in the preseason. That's been his mantra. That's what they do.
The previous regime made the same mistakes.
Yeah, if you are somebody that's expected to be a major contributor on offense or defense, you are going to see little to no action in preseason. I'm going to say he follows Sudi. But does he need it? Sure. He could use all the reps he can get. Are they going to risk it? No. No way. Now, the real question then becomes, and I asked Greg Allman this in the last segment, does Kirk Cousins get extended run in the preseason as sort of a little show-off to other teams saying, hey, I'm healthy. Come get me if you want me. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
I don't need to see that. You're right. Everything you're saying makes – that's the Raheem Morris playbook, and that is the way he runs his system. But guess what? Things need to change. The most things life has changed, and we need some change around here. And, you know, he comes out there week one, and he's a little rusty. We've had this conversation before with other quarterbacks in this town. Oh, week one, he's kind of slow. Why? Because he didn't play in the preseason. I think preseason reps are very valuable. We'll see how this goes. All right, keeping it going. Falcons, true and false. So – the little fights that we talked about, there's one player that's been kind of in the middle of a few of these fights, but he has been getting some really good raves so far in training camp. So true or false, my question is the biggest defensive rookie on this team James Pierce Jr.? True or false?
You know what? I'm kind of opting to say true, Ian. Here's why. He has one job. Go get that quarterback. Pin those ears back.
You're not covering anybody out of the backfield. You're not picking up the tight end. Go get him.
Go get him.
Like a dog.
Thick him. Thick him, James.
He's the other place, though, but yeah. Still, yeah. I feel you.
D-O-G, not D-A-W-G. The D-A-W-G, well, first of all, he needs
get healthy.
Butt. He's got to get his butt back on the field. And valuable reps was the quote that potentially being missed by Walker right now. But I still think Walker's going to be very impactful. But I think he's going to wind up being more versatile. Whereas James Pierce Jr., could he get double-digit sacks? Who knows?
One job. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. I think he's our biggest impact rookie, period. Period.
Yeah, I mean, Watts, I don't know what's going on with him either right now. He's on the sideline. He's getting stuff taped. He's not in the rotation as much. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. All right. Keeping it going here. Falcons, true and false. Before I ask you the actual question, you play fantasy? You a fantasy guy?
I do.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, this one's been floating around, so I got you here to let me know, because I'm not a big fantasy guy. But true or false, is Bijan Robinson the number one fantasy running back or just number one fantasy player, period?
It's funny. It's true. I asked Bo Johnson. I had him on a week or so ago to talk about the passing of Hulk Hogan because he's a huge WWE guy.
I could have handled that for you, but
and,
go ahead.
And at the back end of that conversation, we had a little fantasy talk. And he said, take Bijan Robinson number one overall. Saquon Barkley looks like he's going to have kind of a reduced workload a little bit this year after, you know, 2,000 whatever yards he had last year. So he says Bijan Robinson is the guy to draft number one overall, and I'll take his word. He's pretty good at it.
That's why he has one dude with a fantasy. And I would agree with you. If Bo Johnson says it's to be true fantasy-wise, I would second that emotion. So Bijan, I saw it was all over many fantasy football post boards that whether or not he should be the first pick overall. So there you go, listeners. If you got it, grab him if you can. All right, so tonight, NFL Network, and I believe on one other streaming platform, Hall of Fame speeches going on. Hall of Fame speeches. So you know our Falcons roster pretty thoroughly. True or false, on the current roster, do the Falcons have a potential future Hall of Famer?
Yeah, they have a few, for sure. Bijan Robinson is definitely in the mix. Drake London's definitely in the mix. If he starts a string of 10 straight seasons with 1,000 yards, he'll get in the Hall of Fame.
He going to start 10 straight on his fourth year? Ooh, he got one last year. Ooh, okay.
I mean, listen, would you say his ceiling is pointed up right now? I would.
It is, but 10 straight starting it all. You know, the one thing about the guy down in Tampa, Mike Evans, he did it from year one.
That's true.
He did it from year one.
That's true.
On the current roster, I think there are.
Chris Lindstrom?
Absolutely, because he's going to go down as the best at his position for a long stretch of time.
And Jesse Bates.
Okay. What about our left tackle? For Mr. Consistency and his last name.
No way. He's not good enough.
Because of his last name and his consistency. No.
Nope.
Okay.
No slight. We love Jake.
Yeah.
He's a top 12 offensive tackle almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
Okay. I'm going to call you in 15 years. Like, hey, Turtle, what you doing, man? How you been? How the kids?
Yes.
I told you Jake Matthews was getting in.
Like, he's not Trent Williams. Like, that's a Hall of Fame.
But Trent Williams is the number one at his position for a certain amount of time. I don't know. I'm telling you, that name and that longevity is going to get him more consideration than you think.
Interesting.
It's going to get you more consideration than you think.
All right.
All right, that's Falcons True or False
good
for this week.
Good job, E, on five Falcons True and False questions. Coming up next, it's a good day to visit with Caleb Johnson. Luka done got paid today. He got a $160 million deal. But that's actually not even important. Because that's just a small deal to get him set up for the big deal, which is coming up in 3 years at over $400 million. So we'll talk to Caleb about Luka, his men's health fitness cover, what it means for the Lakers. Are they actually going to be any good? And, of course, all the Hawks news you can use as well. Caleb Johnson coming up next. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 8 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Talk some NBA and off-season hoops and a little Hawks as well, of course, with our Hawks insider, Caleb Johnson, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you check out his new podcast as well. Caleb, let's start here. Luka Doncic obviously has taken the NBA world by storm, appearing on the cover of Men's Health magazine. Maybe a giant middle finger to the Dallas Mavericks organization for everything that happened there. What do you make of his transformation and ultimately what that could mean on the court?
It's going to be really, really interesting. And I think simply because you're now going to have two different directions of where you could take this. Was this the direction that Luka was always going to go because he was working his way back from injury? Or is this the route that Luka took because he wants revenge on Nico Harrison and the Dallas Mavericks? So I don't know that we'll ever truly get the full picture of which direction it was really going as to whether Luka could have done this in Dallas. And if people might forget that actually Dallas has gone through a complete retooling of their health department, of their kind of their strength and training and all of that, because they had people overseeing as doctors who were not certified in the NBA. It was actually something that when Nico Harrison hired these guys, he was working on them getting their certification and wanted to go with a different style of philosophy on how they do their strength and training, on how they do their rehab and all this sort of stuff. And the guy that they had leading it all was, to my understanding, a chiropractor. So not exactly the type of medical doctor that you would want running the show. And he was kind of one of these media personalities who would flip this into an NBA career of managing an NBA team. Well, you had Luka get hurt. You had Daniel Gafford get hurt. You had Kyrie Irving get hurt for the Mavericks. And then there was all these investigations by, you know, independent journalists of looking into the Mavs, kind of their whole health department. And it unveiled of, oh, you've got someone running this whole thing who isn't even NBA certified as they're supposed to be. It's one of those that are going to be working on it. They didn't agree with Luka and his doctors. And obviously this has all led to, you know, Luka being an LA Laker and how this is all going to turn out. But I got to say, just from the photos alone, he looks in great shape. Now, he doesn't have a 42-inch vertical, as the Men's Health article put out, and then they've had to retract it because it's come to a lot of people's attention that apparently the guy who wrote this Men's Health article, he might have used a little lazy ChatGPT or Google AI to look up information, because Luka never participated in the combine in the NBA in 2018 when he was coming into the league because he was playing with Real Madrid. So some of that info was wrong, but the reality is that Luka is primed and ready to be a star in this league, and it's certainly going to be interesting to see how he, alongside, of course, LeBron James, makes that all work in the West.
Yeah, and with that said, they add DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Smart, a couple of other moves that I think a lot of people like. Where do you have them stacked up in the West right now in the offseason?
You know, it's really tough for me because I don't actually – think that DeAndre Ayton is going to work out too particularly well in the West, or just with the Lakers in general. But for the Lakers to be competitive in the West, I think he has been someone that every team that has had him goes, well, surely we can fix him. And then you kind of realize, oh, maybe this guy just doesn't love basketball that much and it can't be fixed. And so I guess if anyone can get things right, having LeBron James kind of being the guy, the veteran in the room, the person to hold you accountable, if you're obviously a young athlete who grew up with LeBron being one of your favorite players or just an icon of the game, maybe that gets you right rather than the previous stops of, you know, Phoenix kind of being its own interesting situation. And then Portland, I think, was just a free-for-all, and DeAndre could do whatever he wants. So maybe there's some veteran leadership that gets him in check, but I just don't have a lot of faith for him. And so with that, I think LA is still missing some pieces that puts this as a true contending team. Are they going to be in a similar spot that they were last year? I think so. As far as if LeBron stays healthy, Luka stays healthy, if they're a top four team in the West regular season, then I think, you know, that would be probably pretty standard for where I put them, just because I have a hard time believing that they're not better than the Thunder. They're not better than especially this new version of the Houston Rockets. I don't think they're better necessarily than the Denver Nuggets. I think the Nuggets matchup-wise present a bit of an issue for them. And so if you know, kind of bounce back between what you think of Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, what do you think of this retooling of the Clippers that I'm not entirely sold on? It's certainly, they're going to be competitive. Do they make a Western Conference Finals next year? I don't think so, but second round certainly seems like that's, you know, realistic for them.
You mentioned the Clippers there, Chris Paul reintroduced back in LA. I mean, if this, again, I keep joking, Caleb, if this was 10, 12 years ago, you'd have an all-pro, all-NBA team here assembled with the Clippers. But right now, kind of seems like a lot of square pegs and round holes.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting. Our old buddy John Collins is amongst the mix as well. As he's going to be a starter at that four spot for them. So, you know, you've got the veteran and Chris Paul joining the James Harden, the Bradley Beal. I've never been sold on Bradley Beal. It's funny. There was a time in which I was so desperate for the Hawks to add anyone to Trae Young that it was like, sure, the Hawks can make Bradley Beal work. But like, clearly he has been someone that the injuries have been way too much for him to be a realistic part of building a championship contending team. So of course, add that to the Clippers, who don't have enough injury problems with Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. With you know, Kawhi out there and Bradley Beal, adding to James Harden, to Chris Paul, and like I said, with John Collins being amongst the mix, like, they're going to be a really interesting team that I do think they're going to be the ones who, regular season-wise, kind of jump towards the top, being in that second or third spot with Houston. If Minnesota can get up there, certainly the Lakers will be amongst that mix as well. I think they're going to be far more interesting as a regular season team than I think they will be come playoff time, just because all of these guys' bodies fall apart. You know, I mean, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, especially those two guys, when it reaches the playoff time, Chris Paul is certainly a part of those. Well, like, they break down because they're an older group. But certainly, as far as like the memories that will come from having this core group together, it will be fun, and it'll be plenty of stars in LA.
We'll switch our coverage to dogs here coming up in just a couple of weeks. But while we're still focusing on the embers of the last season and looking ahead towards the offseason and next season, simply put, Caleb, what do you think of the Hawks roster right now as it stands? Does it look like a complete roster to you?
Complete enough. Like, they are still one piece away, which feels kind of, difficult when you're building out your roster and saying, okay, well, what would you truly switch out? I think if I felt more comfortable about Zachary Risacher being the person that I think he's going to be two seasons from now, I don't necessarily think they would be one piece away. But I do think right now, having Trey, having Dyson, having Jalen come back with Zachary Risacher, who, talk about Luka Doncic's photos. I mean, the photos coming out of Zach in France in year two, I mean, dude looks incredibly cut. Like, he has put on some true muscle like he needed to. But I think the development just takes time. Adding that, though, with Porzingis and kind of putting this collection, I do believe that this is a top four team in the East. And it feels like that's not that hot takey. I feel like every NBA analyst that's talked about this team has high expectations for the Hawks, simply because it's like, oh, you did a bunch of things in, Ansi that made a lot of sense, that built a more complete roster around Trae Young. I think the biggest question mark is there going to be enough offense apart from Trae that you can stay competitive? Because I do think they fixed the defensive problems that this team has had, and another year of Dyson getting older, and like I said, with Zach, with Jalen being healthy, like, the defense, I think, is going to be a really strong suit of this team. So they'll be able to compete with the Cavs, with the Pacers. Boston's going to fall down. I saw their roster the other day of their expected starting five, and it is really, really sad. And so with that, I don't think Detroit is going away. Orlando is certainly going to be in the mix. And so the East isn't just going to lay down for the Hawks to take it over. But certainly top four in the East is very realistic. My bigger thing for this team is you got to make it to the second round of the playoffs. Like, you've done too much to build a roster that I feel like Quinn Snyder and Trey, as the leader of this team, you've got to be able to put this collection together to win a playoff series, get into the second round, and then from there, let whatever happens, happens. But I think that's the sign of showing progress, of going from that team that is, fighting in the play-in every year. This roster, just on paper, is too good for you to not be a playoff team. And I think in the East, a playoff team that reaches the second round, you just can't be fighting for a playoff spot and then it be enough for you to make it into the first round. Like there is enough talent, as young as they are, there's enough talent right now for them to be competitive. And now it's kind of fun because, Chris, it gets to shift for us to having realistic expectations, I think, heading into the season.
Wrapping up our conversation with our Hawks insider and soon to be our Bulldogs representative here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Looking forward to talking some dogs in the coming weeks with Caleb Johnson. Make sure you give him a follow at ATLJohnson18 and check out the new podcast covering the Hawks as well. Before I let you go, Caleb, when do you think we'll get our next update on contract talks with Trey?
Yeah, so I found it very funny. The last time I talked to Anzi, it's been like, what, a month ago, I believe, after the draft, and he had an availability, and I was very upfront with him, and I said, hey, kind of what are your expectations of is it important to you to get a deal done this offseason for Trey? And Anzi pulled the, hey, I come from the Spurs and the Warriors organizations. We don't talk about contracts. So what I have to go off of is the people that I reach out to who are hearing things, and then other people who are putting reports out, which is to say everything that I've heard is both sides want to reach an extension this offseason, and the Hawks don't have any interest in giving Trey the max. And I don't think that's that crazy. I'm sure that Trey's camp is certainly expecting the max because, well, he wants to make as much money as he possibly can. I think they will meet towards a fair number for Trey that keeps him in that star status amongst the league. I don't think that Trey is going to cut the Hawks any sort of super team-friendly deal, but is he going to knock a few bucks off because he sees what they're building right now? And wants to stick around long term? Yeah, I think they're going to come to some sort of an agreement before they head into training camp. But will it probably be like 2 weeks or a week before training camp? Yeah, it's probably closer to the timeline that I realistically expect something like that to get done.
Yeah, and that was our Hawks reporter, Caleb Johnson, there. Again, it's going to be really interesting. Does he deserve the money? Yeah, I think you have to make the argument that he does. Will they give it to him? Is that the vision, quote-unquote, long-term for Anzi Salai and his staff? That remains to be seen. All right, when we get back, let's talk some college football, shall we? Only 3 weeks away from week zero. How about that? Y'all excited? You catching the fever, dog fans? Practice is getting started this week. We'll talk to our buddy Bill Bender, senior writer, Sporting News, one of my favorite guests to talk college football with. He joins me next to break down all things dogs and college football. We'll do that when we get back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, switch gears, talk some college ball with one of our favorites, Bill Bender of the Sporting News, senior writer there. Bill, let's start with Deion Sanders and the announcement yesterday, the press conference. Scary stuff, had bladder cancer, bladder removal and replacement. Looks like he is going to give it a go to coach this season. What did you make of the press conference, everything leading up to it, and everything surrounding it?
You know, the phrase I use was, I mean, it's a rare case where we saw Deion in a vulnerable state and a humanizing state. And, you know, my father died of cancer, so it struck a chord with me, certainly. I thought he was upfront, honest, and it takes a lot of courage to do what he did on the podium yesterday. And, you know, obviously in those kind of type things, football becomes secondary. So to have his doctors up there to give a full explanation and to still have the upbeat personality that makes Deion Deion, I mean, it's hard to put into words because I thought it was a really cool event, and I hope he can continue coaching football. He's good for the game.
No, you're right. He absolutely is. But the flip side of that is, Bill, you need to have a good team in order to win games. What type of squad is Colorado going to have this year?
Well, I think you could ask the same question about North Carolina and Bill Belichick. There's just so much unknown there. You know, obviously, when you had Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, two top five pick, or well, not top five picks, one top five pick and one fifth round pick. I want to get that right. But that they had some talent last year. I think Kaiden Salter is really interesting. The Liberty quarterback, he's going to change the offense a little bit because he runs and he runs well. So they intrigue me. And, you know, what a huge opener against Georgia Tech, that team that's billed as an ACC sleeper. Really impressive quarterback in Haynes King coming back. I mean, that's kind of, you know, as you go through the week one schedule, I know you guys have talked about it down there, but that's a sneaky, really good game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, especially because Georgia Tech outside of that one and Clemson, I mean, and Georgia obviously to end the year, you would think they're probably, if not definitely, going to be at least a slight favorite in the majority of those games. They have a very easy schedule on the flats outside of Colorado, Clemson, and Georgia. So I think it's going to be a big season for Brent Key and Haynes King, as you mentioned. In the SEC, we got the news that DJ Lagway is in a boot as fall camp is going to open here. How big of news is that, and what does that mean for Billy Napier and his squad?
Well, it only matters till August 30th. Obviously, you want to have those reps. And, you know, Florida's got an absolutely brutal schedule playing seven ranked teams. So, or seven teams that I think will be ranked anyway. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you look at that, you hope for the best, but it's an unfortunate injury. And I guess, you know, how does that nature of the injury hold him back during fall camp? I mean, how much reps is he actually able to get? It's not a concern yet, but if we're still talking about that week, walking boot in 3 weeks, we're going to have a problem.
What did you make of Browns owner Jimmy Haslam's claims about Arch Manning today? I think it's funny with an NFL team that has five quarterbacks in its room to be projecting about taking another one next season.
I mean, it's talked about every day here in Ohio. The Browns have been looking for a quarterback. You know, my roommate's a Browns fan, or my college roommate was a Browns fan. He's been talking about their quarterback since 1998. So the Arch Haslam Nick Saban conspiracy theory is alive and well here in Ohio. I mean, I do think Arch, predicated on how he plays, absolutely could be the number one pick in the draft. And in a couple, but I still think, you know, Chris, I think, isn't it possible that he stays another year? I mean, isn't that, you know, where he can play 2 years at Texas? Don't you buy that?
Well, you would know better than I what the 2027 projected QB class looks like. I know this one, he certainly has a couple of guys that may, if they have great seasons, could give him a run for his money, Bill.
I agree. You know, Cade Klubnik and Drew Allard's a big year for him. And even, you know, like Lenore Sellers is a really hot name right now. If he has a monster year for South Carolina. So I think it's just a hunch. This is speculation. I can't like back this up, but I'm going off the Manning family history. You know, Peyton Manning played 4 years. Eli Manning played 5 years. And so I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Arch Manning started for the next 2 years at Texas, especially with the NIL, right? Like it's not going to be money. I don't think it's money with the Mannings anyway. And I do think there's a development aspect to it. I was pointing this stat out. I don't know if I've done it on your show, but since Peyton Manning was drafted in 98, only two quarterbacks have been taken number one with 1 year of starting experience. And that's Cam Newton and Kyler Murray. So that's my way of saying it would take that kind of year for him to get drafted at number one.
When it comes to Alabama and the next season for Kalen DeBoer, we all know how important it is. What do you make of their quarterback situation there? To the best of my knowledge, has Ty Simpson been named the starter officially?
No, and it wasn't exactly like a ringing endorsement. It was an endorsement at SEC Media Day, but it wasn't like a overwhelming endorsement, and that's kind of something I have been paying attention to. They do have other options with Austin Mack and Keelan Russell. There is a lot of pressure on Kalen DeBoer. So, you know, the two hardest quarterbacks for me to rank this year in the SEC are, if we're being honest, Gunnar Stockton and Ty Simpson. Because I know the program they're in. I know the pressure they're in. I know both have some talent, but they definitely need guys to play well around them. So both of those things can be true. But, I mean, on the spot against Florida State in week one, there's no doubt about that.
So you mentioned Georgia and Gunnar Stockton. I think the leg up Stockton has is not actually himself, but what he has around him. I think Oscar Delp, another year is being a full-time tight end there. It's going to be a great security blanket. They brought in Branch. They brought in a bunch of wide receivers to help a core last year that, Bill, quite frankly, was embarrassing at certain points. Carson Beck would have had a lot gaudier numbers had they been able to hold on to the ball. So you would hope that a couple of guys coming in that were highly touted prospects and haven't panned out yet are going to give Gunnar Stockton a lot of weapons. And then you have the running game behind Nate Frazier and a stout offensive line that, if all things go according to plan, much like they unfortunately did not last year, Gunnar might not actually have to do too much in terms of just being a guy that gets his playmakers the ball.
Correct. All of that's correct. I think that was something that with Carson Beck last year, you know, you had the turnovers, but how much of it, I have said this, and I know you guys probably talked about it, you know, losing Ladd and losing Brock and losing, I mean, look how good they were on Sunday last year. Pretty good. Ladd especially was so, what a, not a surprise, but man, he became a huge part of that attack. So I totally understand that. And I think with Gunnar Stockton, I like his mobility. I mean, it was in flashes in the Notre Dame game, but there was a little bit of like, man, that kind of looked like Stetson Bennett a little bit, you know, the way he would get out of pressure and move. And I think with more reps, he's going to be just fine. Simpson's more of an unknown, but I am a believer in, and you saw it with Garrett Nussmeier, Miller Moss to a point before it bottomed out, but I'm a guy that I do believe in waiting your turn. And those guys certainly have waited their turn, and I root for guys that wait their turn, and I hope both do well.
Talking with our buddy Bill Bender, Sporting News senior writer. Make sure you check out all of his college football work there. When it comes to the rest of the Georgia squad here, we are excited about a revamped defense and hopefully looking more like the two teams that won national titles back-to-back as opposed to what it's looked like the last couple of years. How much of an offensive conference do you expect the SEC to be this season with the guys that we talked about with Nussmeier and Arch Manning? Do you expect it to be one of the more highly competitive in terms of offensive output?
I think so. I mean, when you have that kind of quarterback play and that amount of depth at that position, it certainly means that we're going to see some points. I mean, I think how many of the top 10 Heisman contenders are SEC quarterbacks? At least four. So, yeah. You know, when you have that and the upside of all of that, you know, I've shied away from trying to figure out the Heisman. I think because of all those, any one of those SEC quarterbacks could do it. You know, Jeremiah Smith could do it at Ohio State. The only caution there I have is he's got to share with other really awesome receivers at Ohio State. So I don't know, you know, you have to get the numbers to do it. But to answer your question, yes, I think they're going to be high-scoring games. That's the way the game is. They're going to be highly entertaining. I think we'll have, when you have 10 ranked teams, which the SEC probably will have, you're going to have a lot of one-score games. So I think even break that down further, the quarterbacks that are clutch in the fourth quarter and in one-score games are the ones we're going to stand out.
Speaking of standing out, Rhett Lashley was certainly standing out at Media Days. Do you think he backs up his talk this year with the Mustangs?
You know, I was sitting in that breakout last week in Charlotte, and I think, one, you love coaches that talk like that because it writes your story for you, and two, no, I think SMU definitely has something there. Now, is it at the level of an SEC power? No, not yet. But, you know, to be able to kind of buy your way into the game and then back it up by going and making the playoff, making the ACC championship, you're in a good market. I think Rhett's got them really believing that, and there's a lot of backing behind that SMU program. Now, I said some of the math with the SEC, the way I look at it, and you know I live in Big Ten country, is the SEC has been the most dominant conference since the BCS era. Anybody who says otherwise is wrong, right? But, and I think what separates them a little bit is having six programs where their fan bases,
we could do this exercise on the side at some point, but how many fan bases in the SEC there that they wake up today and they say, we can win a national title? I think they have the most that can say that and actually mean it, right? Like, as opposed to the Big Ten, where I think that's actually three or four.
Speaking of the Big Ten, are you on the Illinois hype train?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I think they're going to – well, the hype train to me is they're going to be ranked top 15. That's about right. You know, they did beat South Carolina in the bowl game, so they should, in theory, be ranked ahead of them. Luke Altmaier's back. He's played a ton of football. Gabe Biakas is a part of their interior. Their schedule's set up very well. You know, Ohio State's really the only ranked team they're going to play. So if they can beat Indiana, they can beat USC, you know, Brett will have his chance. And you know what? That's kind of cool. I think the way the Big Ten is situated right now, you have Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, and it's kind of a competition for that fourth spot. You know, Michigan's going to be better. Illinois will be good. Indiana will be good. Waiting to see what happens with USC. But, I mean, that's the clump of teams you're dealing with.
How close is Michigan State to getting their act back together? They've been, obviously, we know what happened a couple of years ago, and they've been kind of dormant since then.
You know, what they miss about Mark D'Antonio was that he was so good at recruiting a three-star kid and giving that three-star kid more of a fire, an edge. Darquez Denard is the first name that popped up in my head. He was a great All-American corner they had. And they played over their head every year. And that's going to be the challenge for Jonathan Smith because they are a little bit behind on recruiting. The Michigan game, they built based so much off of that. And, you know, when they lose to Michigan, it typically goes south after. So my way of saying, you know, we'll see. But I like Jonathan Smith. I think he's a good players coach. I just think that D'Antonio was the guy that was perfect for that job, and they haven't found that yet.
Bill, appreciate the time. As always, looking forward to our chats as college football gets closer and closer. We'll check you out in the sporting news.
I can't believe August is here. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
You got it. Thanks, Bill. I can't believe it either. But here we are again. We are three Saturdays away from college football. How about that? That is really astounding. We are halfway through this program, flying by. Falcons fans, you want the latest on what's going on with Flowery Branch? I got you covered. Joe Patrick's going to join us next. What's going on with Jalen Walker, Darnell Mooney? What's going on with all this scrapping at practice? We'll get the latest on all that and more coming up from Flowery Branch. Joe Patrick next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Chris Thomas tonight.